Oh shit, yeah, it's on red. Bottom floor window.
Hey guys, this is Fro from XX Gaming, content creator or Warzone player. And you guys are about to listen to Fraggin' and Laggin' Season 2, Episode 1.
No.
Bro, did I just get a quad?
Dude, my!
What just happened to them?
Oh, I just got 4 kills in there.
Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request!
All right, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
All right, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the very first episode of Season 2 of the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. My name is Bobby or Junkhead. It doesn't matter. Call me whatever you want as long as you call me your friend. And as usual, the Beast from Bruges, my brother from another mother, if that's legally say that on the interwebs, the homie Joaquin Blaze. How you doing?
Hey, Junkhead. Thanks for the intro.
Captain Sassafras. Almost... the diva of Twitch. Joaquin Blaze. There we go.
Man, I still want to kill you for bringing out that shirt, Blaze Diva. Oh, my God.
No more of it. But anywho, not about me. It's about you.
No. It's about someone else. We got an amazing guest for our first episode. I think a lot of our listeners are going to go crazy about this one.
Would you say
I kind of had a few... Cray-cray. Yeah.
Isn't that
like old? Like,
That's for the new kids. We're trying to reach in, you know.
Anyways, let me try the intro. I'm going to try it.
Get it. You better bring the heat.
His name is Drew or Andrew. Shit, I already fucked up.
His name is Drew. God,
he got a personal record of probably 50 kills, maybe by now already 100 kills. He's an amazing Call of Duty player. He just joined XX. His name is Mr. Fro, a.k.a. Frozen from before, right?
Yes, sir. Hey, thanks, you guys. How's it going, man?
Awesome.
We're good. We're excited to have you.
I'm so excited, man.
I'm making so in awe that my voice cracked. I feel like Blaze all over again, you know? I mean, Oh, my God. But, you know, thank you for coming on. And it's an honor to have you as the first guest. You know, everyone... No, nobody remembers second, third, fourth, fifth, but they always remember number one. So it's a real honor to have you on the podcast. And first, I want to say thank you to Justin for putting us in touch with you to make this possible. So I just don't know what to say other than I'll say thank you 1,000 times, but that's just.
Well, thank you to you guys as well, man. I mean, I've made a goal like in 2020 and 2021, it's just to take advantage of any, you know, podcasts or interviews or anything like that, just because one, you know, it definitely helps me out. It definitely helps other people out. And I just meeting new people that are in the community and that enjoy, you know, the content kind of stuff, is really cool to me and just meeting new people. So it's awesome, man. Thank you very much for having me, man.
Is this your first podcast?
No, I don't think so. This would probably be about my, I don't know, fourth or fifth, I would say, in the last like 6 months or so.
Okay, can you just lie for us one time and say yes, it is?
This is my absolute first.
No, podcast.
Yes, let's go.
No. He just has to say at the end of the podcast, this was the best ever he was on.
So, anywho, like you said, you guys, he used to be called Frozone. He's going away from that. He is with XX right now, and he's going with XX Fro. So he's just kind of doing a big nice rebranding. And
are you gonna like color your hair and stuff like that, like ninja style? Or
no, absolutely not. Yeah, so the branding, it's a weird spot, because I mean, I never in the history have ever thought I'd be in a position to where I could potentially get in trouble for using a copyrighted name from, you know, Disney. You know, like, if people have ever seen the movie Incredibles, I had the name Frozone. There's a character in the show called Frozone. I just never thought I'd be in a position, or I'd grow to a certain point where, like, this is like a potential of me getting an issue. So, or be, you know, being in trouble. I guess it's like a good and a bad thing. But so we're trying to, you know, people call me Fro or Drew anyway. So I'm trying to really get to the Fro part, because don't know. It's kind of cool. It's short. It's easy. And so hopefully we're, you know, planning on doing a nice whole rebrand, in like an announcement more so, just to,
you know, so you guys stay tuned. We're going to keep that hush hush from now on. That's under wraps. Got the lock and key going on. So, but you guys stay tuned. And we will have all his information and the links down below for Fro. Wow, did I just spit some fire there or what? Let's go. But really the reason why we wanted to have you on here is that those people that follow everything Fro, they want to know the story about you. And so the floor is yours. You get to talk about whatever you want up into, you know, being on the greatest podcast ever, this one, shameless plug. So, yeah, the floor is yours. Talk about whatever you want, and we're just going to sit back and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we'll definitely start, you know, early on, man. Just, you know,
a gaming console, like when you were 3 years old or something? Like, did you grow up like that?
So I grew up playing like Game Boys all the time. You know, I got, you know, the new Game Boy, played a lot of Pokemon and some, like, I forgot other games, but mostly Pokemon. I remember growing up playing
Tetris.
Tetris as well. A little Tetris, but most of it was Pokemon growing up in the Game Boys. My older brother, I always had the consoles, so I always tried to play whenever he wasn't home, or if he was working, or if he was at school or sporting events. I was always trying to just sneak in some, you know, some Xbox time, or I was spending the weekends over at my buddy's house, where he had like three different consoles, and we'd have basically like little LAN parties, like almost every single weekend that we could go over there. So that was like one of the coolest things ever, I would think, is those little LAN parties, you know, where you just bring like a little TV or a little monitor, everybody hooks up their own little system, and you just play, you know, you play COD or play Halo. That's definitely one of my most favorite moments ever growing up and playing video games was that. But yeah, definitely grew up playing video games. I grew up in Minnesota. I graduated in 2014 in central Minnesota. I was supposed to go to college. I was supposed to wrestle in college. I was a wrestler in high school. I'd like to think I was
pretty good. Wait. You were a wrestler? Like,
I was a wrestler.
I'm like, people know that I'm European, right? But for me, wrestling is like, we in Europe, it's not really a popular thing in the most of European countries. So just how is that? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm really curious about it. Is it like that popular in the US?
I wouldn't say it's like super popular, just because there's no like professional like sport. I mean, I guess you could. Yeah, there's really no professional wrestling. Like, the goal is to make it to the Olympics or to wrestle in college. Other than that, there's really no like professional level after college that you could really go to. But wrestling was hands down my favorite thing probably ever. I definitely learned a lot of things from wrestling. You know, respect and like, you know, determination, or, you know, what am I thinking here? Just in order to you know, grow as a person, wrestling was always there for me. You know, I learned how to be disciplined. You know, it's like one of the best things I think that ever happened to me, just because our coach was always so hard on us. My dad was always very hard on me when it came to wrestling and making sure I had good grades also while wrestling, and then gaming and stuff came after that. So it was a huge part of my life. I did, you know, cross country as well, you know, in the fall to get ready to get, you know, in shape for wrestling, which was during the winter. But it was
did your dad wrestle when he was young or not?
Yep, he did. He wrestled on high school and in college. Yep,
nice.
So he was big. He always wanted to be he wanted me to be the wrestler. He tried my older brother. He never got into it, but you know, it stuck with me all the way through high school. But unfortunately, in like my junior and my senior year, I got like 3 concussions in a matter of like 2 years. And so I kind of just made the decision, like, well, you know, I don't want to screw myself over, you know, like one extra hit on my head could really screw me up forever. And so I decided, like, you know, I'm not going to you know, I'm not going to wrestle in college. And so even at that point, I never went to college.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you because I started wrestling when I was in like eighth grade, and like my wrestling coach was always like,
it's "Wait, you wrestle, Chunk? You know?"
Dude, in the States, it's big.
Well, I'm seeing you in tights and a greasy body
Oh my gosh, here we go. But it's like my wrestling coach used to say the same thing, is that it's like the oldest sport in the history of the world. Wrestling is
right.
Mm-hmm. And it's a team sport, but when you get out there, it's an individual sport, so to speak. So I always like that aspect of, you know, like that. But it's a commitment, you know, and a lot of road work. I know a lot of wrestlers always did cross country because it was a good way to stay in shape and keep your weight down. But
yeah, my senior year, I was walking around at like 135, 140, and I cut down to 113 to wrestle my senior year. So that was, that was like one of the hardest things ever was always cutting weight. You know, that's like 80% of wrestling is making sure you make weight. It's like hardest thing ever.
And then
say that's like the base of how you learn to grind for stuff in life? Mm-hmm. Did that like make you your character kind of?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the discipline thing and always inconsistency, right? Like if you want to get better, you gotta do the reps. You have to put the work in. You have to put the reps in, or else you just won't be rewarded. Like, you're not gonna win unless you practice. And so I think the consistency thing was like one of the biggest things for me, and the discipline, they all kind of go in hand for me, you know, for gaming, for working, for, you know, for pretty much everything ever. It's just been a big, you know, pillar in my life was, you know, the discipline and consistency will get you to wherever you want to go. It may take a lot longer, you know, whatever you're doing, but I think it's one of the biggest things that I view or that I value.
Yeah, I think all wrestlers share the same mentality, you know. So I don't miss the days of not eating, you know, sucking on an ice cube. That's the fiercest thing. So
there'd be times where, I mean, like, cause I was always a big cutter. I cut, you know, so I could be bigger than my opponent. Right. So, you know, for lunch, I'd go into the locker room, jump rope, maybe eat like an apple. And that was like my lunch, especially on days that we needed to make sure that we made weight. So it was, you know, tough working out like three times a day, you know, morning before school, go running a couple miles with, you know, four layers on.
Oh, gosh.
Have wrestling practice. And then after, go to the gym, run some more, hop in the sauna. It was hell, man.
I think that's why I hate popcorn to this day, because like popcorn had like no fat. And I was like, I will not eat popcorn. That, and I'm not a big, like, sucking on ice cubes because you're so dehydrated. But you know, it makes you wanted to, yeah, exactly. You always wanted to be the best. So, you know, it's like, and you always learn from the losses too. You're like, man, like that 10th of a second, if I hit that switch, it's over, you know, but exactly. You miss it. So,
yep.
But yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
No, go for it.
Oh, no. I was like, anyway, back to you and your success story as a, because like really for wrestling, the only the only thing that wrestlers do nowadays is it's after the Olympics or they go into MMA. It's a transition for him. So,
and one of my wrestling coaches was like an MMA fighter, like an amateur MMA fighter. And I really wanted to do that. But like I said before, it's like I had three concussions in like less than 2 years. And so like, that's like not good. And they're all, two of them are like major concussions. And so I just took, you know, screw it, man. You know, I'm not going to do this. So during all of high school, I was working at a restaurant. Again, my parents, wanted to make sure I was doing well in school, doing well, you know, in sports. And also they're making sure that I was working, you know, they don't want me asking them for money. You know, they wanted to, you know, put me out to the world, and they wanted me to learn as much as I could. So I was 15 years old. I was biking, you know, 4 miles to go be a dishwasher at this local restaurant. And I think that in itself also taught me, you know, a lot of things about, you know, being responsible, you know, being responsible with money, or, you know, just, you know, I was growing, I think, as a person a lot, just because I felt like I was one of the few people in my class that, you know, that had a, that had a job, you know, that early. Because at 15 years old, that's still pretty, that's pretty young. So
I honestly, it sounds weird, but I was a dishwasher when I was 14. I had to take a bus for an hour and then roller skate through a tunnel under the water for like, and then on the street for like 30 minutes and go wash dishes for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I can only...
I feel you there, but it's good that your parents gave you that because now you know what money's worth, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And so, yeah, my parents were big on, they were big on making sure that, you know, I wasn't spending, you know, my whole day, my whole night, you know, in my gaming room, you know, at my setup. If I was, they made sure that all my homework was done, you know, that I was on, you know, that I was, you know, on track, you know, for weight loss, you know, for wrestling, you know, make sure it wasn't working or had to be at work. But they're always just making sure that everything was taken care of before, you know, before I was, you know, quote unquote, wasting time playing video games. So I earned my time, you know, to play video games. And yep, so
you gotta pay to play.
Yep. Oh, I mean, I remember growing up in like middle school, you know, during middle school, they make you read so many pages, like a month or a week or whatever in these books. And my parents give me a deal for every minute that you read. That's a minute that you get to play video games. So like, you know, I'd pretend, you know, there'd be times where, all right, I'm going to go read for 2 hours. You know, I'd be on my, you know, my phone or my Game Boy, you know, with, you know, in between my book, you know, pretend, you know, I got that far, look up online what happened in the book for my reports. And then, you know, I got some game time in. So,
yeah, you guys are witnessing Froze Pro Strats for getting mm-hmm. some game time if you have parents like that. So,
yep. But I think that really taught me a lot, you know, in terms of growing up and making sure that, you know, priorities was a big thing. And back to the wrestling thing with the discipline and consistency is definitely taught me a lot in life and in streaming, because I've been streaming on Twitch for about 5 years now, right in February. So that's, yeah. So 5 years I've now been streaming on Twitch, and it's been just a 200 plus hours every single month, minus probably like 3 or 4 months in the last 5 years, which is like full-time job is like, what I think 160 hours a week, or sorry, 160 hours a month, something like that. 180.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah. What to say? 160. Yeah. That's about right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, the whole determination and setting goals and stuff like that that I learned growing up has definitely affected my whole work ethic. You know, I think that's the main thing, is the work ethic. So, and then here we are, streaming, playing Call of Duty every single day.
Did you start streaming immediately after school, or was it during school, or what? Did you do something in between?
So I mean, I sent out some college applications. I got accepted. I went to like the first day thing where they show you where everything is at. And then I just told my parents, I'm like,
they show you all the pretty girls and everything, right?
Yep. Yep. And then I told my parents, I'm like, I just don't want to do this. I never really enjoyed school. They knew that I wasn't very good at it. I just didn't really apply myself to it because I didn't like it. And so, you know, they were supportive on it. They were like, okay, like, you know, as long as you're working, as long as you are paying your bills and you're not asking us for money, you know, we'll support in whatever you're doing, right? So I moved like an hour and a half away. I was still working. And then I came back, you know, like 6 months later. And then I was working like 3 different jobs at like the local restaurant that I was still working at. I worked there for like about 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. So I was there the whole time. Growing up. And then I was also working at an Office Depot. And I was also working at concessions at like the softball field. But I was still, you know, making sure that I was still paying the bills, you know, paying the rent. And at the same time, I was still streaming. And what I was understanding, and I guess I can say this to a lot more people, is like the streaming and the gaming was just a hobby, right? I never really wanted to do it full time. I never expected to do it full time until, you know, the opportunities came. So I think one of the best things that I've learned is like you know, you have to start out streaming and gaming as a hobby. Like, you can't just go into it just like, all right, here we go. I'm going to make a career out of it right now. Adios. You know, I'm going to drop everything and just go into it. It just doesn't, unfortunately, just doesn't work like that, like anything else or other things. But that's not the way, you know, streaming and YouTube and, you know, social platforms or anything works like that. Most of the time, I should say.
But, I mean, yeah, because I agree, because it seems like a lot of people, they see the success that people have and they go out and drop like their life savings on everything for streaming. Mm-hmm. And then they're just like, they expect to hit go live and you're like, okay, I'm going to have 7,000 viewers. I'm going to be partnered. I'm just going to pass affiliate. I'm going to be partnered in a couple weeks. No big deal. Exactly. And then they're like, okay. I mean, I understand the concept of looking at it as a way to make some money, but not right. as a full-time career. And I think it's a testament to what your parents taught you was that, like you said, do the time, you get to play, and you stay committed. If you're, I imagine your dad said, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it 100%.
Yep.
And
That's like the, you know, the wrestling mindset again, you know, the discipline and, you know, the whole, that whole pillar, the whole, you know, value that I have, you know, that I took, you know, from growing up was, you know, is you just got to put, you know, all the work into it. I mean, I was working 3 jobs and I was still streaming, you know, 200 hours a month, which that's a lot of time. You know, I was only getting six tops hours of sleep every single night. Then again, I just enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And I loved it. And just, you know, it's just part of the process. And I guess another thing that I should say is, you know, you don't have to always have the best equipment. Like you were saying, like people will be spending, you know, thousands of dollars on, you know, this equipment, this, that, this here. Like you don't, like most of the time you don't even need that, right? You need maybe like one good monitor, but you can have like a TV for your chat, or like you can use a lamp for your lights. Like, and you can get that stuff at, you know, at thrift stores. It's like, for the longest time, I was just using stuff that, you know, that just worked. As long as it worked and it was working fine for me, like I never really spent the extra money to update and to, I didn't buy all the expensive stuff. You know, that doesn't make you, you know, a better streamer. I mean, it upgrades the quality a little bit, but I think before your quality, you gotta have, you know, I would say a pretty good personality, or you know, you're good at the game or whatever it may be. But
I mean, and I think, what should help people out there, and I've said this, the only way to do it is to go live and, and just enjoy the ride. You're going to have ups and downs, peaks and valleys, the ebb and flow, but the advancements in consoles, like, you know, I was a 360 guy and, you know, there was no go live. You know, because now they've attached, if you can down, you know, you're allowed to stream from your console to Twitch. You know, everyone's like, you said, think you have to have like the best equipment. And like I played H1Z1 on an old PC that barely got in its heyday, got 21 FPS, you know, and, you know, Blaze knows the days of doing that too. But there was no streaming for me. But, you know, it's, you don't have to have the best stuff. You just have to have the best, I think, personality that drives good content. Because I you know, and I firmly believe, like, I'm an example of, you don't have to be good at gaming at all.
Right.
You just have to have a personality. And luckily, everyone says, oh, you're that old guy. Yeah, I'm that old guy. Thanks for reminding me.
The, you know, old guy complaining, you mean.
Yeah. And then we have the diva, and that's why, you know.
And I played Warzone on a PC that was dying the first year, and I was playing at 20, 30 FPS while I was streaming, you know, and still hitting 10 or 15 kills. So
there you go. Yeah, and there's a clip from Summit1G. I mean, Summit1G, he's like the grandfather of, you know, streaming on Twitch and just streaming in general. And there was a tweet he put out forever ago, and I actually have it as a command in my chat on Twitch, is like, it's literally exclamation point tips. Like, that is literally what the command says. And he said in his video, like, there are ways to grow your stream. And there are, you know, different kinds of streamers and kinds of streams and stuff like that. But, you know, the best ways to really grow your stream is one, or to be a good streamer, I guess, is one, you know, you just be really, really good at the video game. A lot of people really enjoy watching extremely skilled players, you know, play. If you look at like Shroud, and if you look at like, I mean, I don't watch him a lot, and so I don't know if he's like, you know, super personable or, you know, has a good personality or whatever. But I remember like, he's just always, you know, he's known for having the best aim in PUBG or Counter-Strike or whatever it may be. And then also, some is also said is that the person could be just really, really funny. People love watching funny people. You could be the absolute worst at playing any game ever in the history of ever, and people will still watch you. I guess we can go back, and I could use this as an example. When Tim the Tap Man was playing Fall Guys, you know, everybody was making a huge meme about him. Everybody was tweeting at him. You had the Fall Guys game tweeting at him. You had everybody. He had over 300,000 people, I'm pretty sure, watching him try and get his first win in Fall Guys. And because he's just a funny guy. He's just all around funny. And then the third thing he said was, someone G said, is like, you're also just super, you go super in depth, like with your community. You know, you do a lot of community things. You grow with your community. You hang out with your community. People in your stream become best friends. You become really good friends with people that support you. You play with people from your stream and stuff like that. Just growing all that. And the more of each one you got, I think the better chances you are of growing your stream and your and stuff like that.
Yeah, and huge shout out to the Fall Guys social media guy, because you yep. were the greatest to ever do it, I think. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So, all right. So you start streaming 5 years ago. What was your go to game when you first started streaming?
I was streaming Call of Duty Black Ops 3, and I was playing like at the time I was playing Call of Duty Black Ops 3. S&D tournaments and wagers. So they're basically like money matches. They're you play for, you know, a few dollars, or tournaments you play for a couple hundred dollars tournaments, like, you know, every single night pretty much. So I think the reason why my stream did fairly really well, and I'm glad I did this, was like I started pretty early, because not a lot of people streamed around that time. I think like one of the biggest streamers was Nick Merckx, and that's when he had a few thousand, maybe 1,000 people watching him. He had a couple thousand subscribers. I mean, he's like the biggest Call of Duty streamer, and he had 1,000, maybe 2,000 viewers. So not a lot of people, one, really watched that much Twitch, but two, there wasn't so many streamers. And I think that's the thing right now. And I think that came with Fortnite, is when Fortnite blew up, thousands and hundreds of thousands of more gamers, I think, came into the scene. And a lot of those people wanted to be streamers and content creators and YouTubers and stuff like that. So I think it's, ever since then, gaming and Twitch has definitely exploded, but that makes it also more saturated, which also makes it harder for more streamers to grow as well.
I mean, I started back in 2015 as well, and I always say, if you had in 2015, 2016, like 100, 200 viewers, that would equal probably 20 or 30 viewers now, because the grind is so much harder. I remember playing CSGO and having like 100 viewers and maybe having like being top 5 or top 10 of all streamers playing CSGO on yep. Twitch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd yep. have so many people pop in, follow you, you know, all that stuff. So I think, it, like you said, it became way, way harder, you know?
Yeah, and it's definitely, and that's, I think that's also on Twitch as well. I think Twitch definitely has some work to do when it comes to discoverability. It's definitely not the greatest. It's, and if you compare that to like Facebook or YouTube, gaming, the discoverability is so hard on Twitch. It's very, very hard. They actually added a new thing called like boosting the stream. And I see that they're trying to figure out, you know, different ways to do that or to help, you know, smaller creators. But just think, like, you go to Warzone, and you want to go find something that has 15 to 20 viewers, you know, you have to scroll down for like 30 seconds in order to get to that, you know, nonstop scrolling to get to where the 15, 20 viewers are. And so that just makes it very, very tough for newer creators or smaller creators to grow. And so I think with one of the biggest changes, or one of the biggest things that's helped a lot of people grow in the last year, especially that I've seen on Call of Duty, is TikTok. TikTok has exponentially boosted so many people, and it's so amazing to see because that platform is just so weird. It's so weird.
Yeah, I'm a TikTok fan. I think, but the worst thing about TikTok is that you young TikTokers out there, when you post "follow me, I'll follow you," you're just pretty much you're doing it the wrong way, I think, because mm-hmm. then you're like you might as well come into my stream and ask follow for follow. So there's ways to do it right, but you know, like the one that I hate the most is that the thank you for coming one viewer, and then they leave and they're like womp womp. I'm like, come on.
Like, then you look at it, like they're making sob stories kind of just to get more people to their stuff.
Yeah, and then you look at them, they got like 390k followers, they're like almost partnered on Twitch, and I was like, you guys are falling. Look at these people. I mean, and let's face it, with the pandemic out there, it's made so many more people become content creators, and like you're looking at big athletes that are like, oh, I'm gonna become a streamer on Twitch, and you know, they become the devout following. It just rolls over. But I agree with you, TikTok is an integral key to everything.
That is one of the coolest things that I've seen is, during, you know, once everybody shut down basically for the first time, you know, last year already, you know, that, you know, more and more people started seeing that all these athletes are gamers as well, you know, and we just realized like, yo, these guys are just, you know, they play basketball, sure, for their job, but they're also just gamers, you know, like they're, you know, they're just like you and I. And so, I mean, I've had the opportunity to play with a lot more football players in the last like year, to name a few, like Golden Tate, Blake Martinez, both on the New York Giants, Brian Arakpo, Jamal Charles, and just a bunch of other guys. But one of the coolest things is you see like two different kind of worlds kind of intertwine. And I think we can almost backtrack that all the way to Ninja in Fortnite when he first played Fortnite with Drake. And I think ever since then, it's become a lot more mainstream for more and more gamers, or a lot more people, you know, celebrities, actors, actresses, to start getting involved with gaming. I think it's just so cool to see.
Yeah, the good thing about it is I think it brings a lot of people that didn't know about Twitch or gaming the way we do as gamers to come watch a stream or something, you know, to see that there's another whole other world out there, content creation, and people are discovering it thanks to all the sports people or like you say, movie stars or anybody who stream or who join a streamer to play with them and tweet about it and stuff, you know. And I think like you said, the premise, like the thing about that was, I think Ninja had was like a pioneer in that, you know.
Yep, I agree 100%.
And I think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think really, and like we've talked about this before, is that like being a gamer was like taboo. It was like nerdy. It was like, oh, you're a gamer, nerd, like let me throw you in this trash can. So now those same people that see their athletic idols playing, it's like, all right, maybe gaming is cool. No, that it's cool to come out of the shadows and be like, what do you do? I'm a gamer. Dude, what game do you play? And that's what they ask. What's your favorite game, you know?
Yeah, it's been insane, especially during the whole COVID thing, because nobody else had anything to do. And so like gaming and esports and Twitch and YouTube and I guess even Facebook, everybody within the gaming community, it just grew. It just grew so fast and it grew like crazy. And, you know, you see all these esports guys, or sorry, you see a lot of these athletes now investing millions of dollars into, you know, top esports teams, and you see a lot more you know, companies now sponsoring esports teams or esports businesses, or you know, wherever it may be. It's just now you start seeing different cultures, you know, start intertwining with the gaming, which I mean, it's very, very cool. Because again, growing up, I mean, everybody thought, you know, I was wasting time playing video games and stuff like that. But now if I ever, you know, see people, you know, that, you know, my family, my cousins, or you know, people I graduated with, you know, they'd be like, wow, dude, you're doing amazing. Like, yo, this is so cool. This is so awesome. And so, you know, it's more of like a look at me now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good hard flex. And the escalation of gaming nowadays is like, you look at it, there's high school esports teams. There's people are getting scholarships to go to college and play esports team, esports. I mean, that just shows how far gaming and esports is like important to now, you know, nowadays. Whereas, you know, those say if you had those, that one parent that was like, oh, you'll never do anything with it, you're just wasting your time. And you're like, yo, by the way, dad, I just got a full ride to say, like, for you, like the University of Minnesota to go play Warzone on their competitive team. Sheesh. And you're like, okay, not, it just got real. It just got real, you know?
Yep. And one of the things that I've been trying to brainstorm with, and I've asked my parents and one of my few teachers that I had in high school, is something that I want to get into, is I want to do some sort of like yearly scholarship for gamers that, you know, that went to the high school that I went to. You know, if it's like, $1,000 or $500 every single year, you know, if they're gamers or they do something with content creation, you know, video or whatever it may be, I just think there should be more and more opportunities. And I think I'm going to, you know, bring that into fruition at some point. But I think it'd be just so cool.
Dude, so that cool. Is like, so, I mean, that's like the ultimate give back right there, you know, mm-hmm. Like, you know, this, because you don't, you know, it's like there's a lot of kids out there that don't have that opportunity. And this could be that little stepping stool for be like, hey, look, you know, put my nose right in the grindstone. I do the work. I get to play. And it's cool. So,
yeah, it also brings us to the part, you know, like we did and a lot of streamers do, where people do fundraisers for good charities and stuff like that, you mm-hmm. know, like and if you see what. Like, I'm from the 80s, you know, and when you were a gamer, I was a soccer player, like you guys call it in the US. So I, mm-hmm. I kind of was cool and I was a skater. But in the same time, I was a gamer. And like some of my friends didn't understand that. And some of mine did. And I had such a mix of friends doing that. But it just made me who I was. And I didn't care if I was a nerd in between brackets, you know, mm-hmm. I just did what I like to do. And I did my thing. But mm-hmm. what is really nice to see in gaming nowadays is that people are so involved, that gaming is showing that they can do a lot of things for people and that they contribute a lot to society and even to, you know, this guy that watches your stream that has a bad day, and because he watches you Frozone, he's feeling way better. Mm-hmm. You know, that's if you know that, if you feel that, doesn't that make you, that yeah. makes you feel accomplished? Even if you have just one viewer. But that one viewer, you make his day, then for me, the stream's good. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And that brings me to, so early December, I saw one of my buddies tweet out me like, hey, do you guys think I should do like, or he was like, how do you say it? He's like, hey guys, I'm just gonna, the next week, I'm gonna be doing like a donation goal for Toys for Tots, you know? And then wouldn't it be cool to just go to Walmart or a local store or wherever it may be and just buy just a crap ton of toys, throw them all in carts and stuff like that. It's like, yo, dude, I'm going to steal this idea. He's like, dude, go for it. Let's do it. And then in a matter of 4 days, and I had no idea what my community was capable of. And now my eyes are wide open, man. And I just want to do so many more different charity things or different fundraisers, whatever it may be. But in like 3 days, almost 4 days, we raised $3,300 for Toys for Tots, and that's insane. And so me and my parents went to Walmart, because there's really no local store that sells toys, that many toys. We got 6 carts full of toys, so it was a total of 223 toys, and we were able to donate them to, you know, kids that are just less fortunate, you know, for, you know, Christmas or the holidays. So that right there, it was like, hands down, one
that's
of like,
awesome,
the best
man.
Things that I've ever been able to do, you know, with this stuff. And so, you know, it opened my eyes. I'm like, wow, man, like, you know, like we can really do this. Like we can, you know, maybe once a year or once every 6 months or whatever it may be, you know, different charity, different fundraiser, you know, we can come together and we can make a difference. We can make a huge difference. And so a difference in how many kids' lives, you know?
And did you bring it to like one place or to different places?
So we brought it to one place. So I had to make sure I called ahead of time and said, hey, I'm going to be honest. I got $3,300 worth of toys. Is you guys got enough space? Like you guys are good. They said, yep, we'll make sure we'll have space. If there's not, we'll make space. We'll take care of it. You know, whatever. And I said, okay, here we go. And then my dad, of course, emailed all the local newspapers and radios about the situation.
It's a hard flight. It is. I mean, that's a good thing because, like, Blaze and I, at the end of the last season, we did a fundraiser for Save the Children. And we set a lofty goal for us. And in 2 days, we raised $2,100. And we were like in shock. You know, it cost me my beard. We had to wear makeup. I had to wear a dress. Blaze had to dump flour all over his head.
That's the fun of it, though.
But in the end, when Blaze and
I'm
sitting
still
there,
missing hair on my legs, really.
Oh, there was basketball. But at the end of the day, we looked back, and because through the Save the Children program, the money we raised built two schools in the country of Africa. So yeah. I was like, you know what? I'll wear a dress any day. I'll put makeup on. I'll do anything. Because you just like it. So when you do that, you're just like, you know what though? I think it allows people to look at you, Fro, and be like, you know what? This dude is legit. He's just not doing it because he's like, I'm a gamer. Don't talk to me. Blah blah blah. He's like, you know what? Now the people in your not only is your gaming community, but your community that you live in, that you grew up in, know what you did for the children that weren't as fortunate, you know. And then kudos to you, man. Golf clap. Golf clap.
Yeah, I would love to continue. You know, just to do stuff like that. You know, I think it's one of the coolest things. I mean, I was blessed. You know, growing up that we. You know, that we really didn't, it felt like we didn't have struggle, but, you know, I always got what I wanted, I made up work for it, you know, I had a job early, but, you know, I would say I was a little bit more blessed than, you know, a lot more other kids, you know, these days, especially. So, you know, I got to pay it back. This, especially this last like year and a half of Warzone has been very, 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 you know, kind and generous to me, you know, in the community and stuff like that. So it's only right to, you know, to pay it forward and try to continue to keep paying it forward. So it's a big, it feels good. It feels so good to do that.
Yeah. And I think that's what Blaze and I were like, you know what though? We did a good thing and we did it in like 2 days. So we were like,
and we had the guests from some of the guests of season one came back with us in live stream and we, you know, did stuff with them and it was really fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, awesome. Fro, if we're doing it again, it's probably going to be in June or July, I think again.
Let's do
could be a reach out to you or Junkhead reaches out to you.
Let me know.
Join us.
Oh yeah, you're down.
I am always down because you know
you're gonna shave your legs as well.
I'll do anything you want.
Press.
Yeah, you're like us. It's just like my fiance when we hit like Jeff Throw, and if you're listening to Jeff, congratulations on making partner, much deserved. Comes in and I think our goal at $1,500, I had to shave my beard. Jeff Throw comes in, doesn't say anything, donates it, and he goes shave it. And I was like, I get up and my fiance, we've been together 8 years, looks at me and I've shaved my beard off one time in eight years. Gosh. And she's like, no. And like, she was almost crying. She's like, I feel like I'm cheating on you with somebody else. But, and everyone's like, you look so young. And I was like, it still doesn't matter. So you go from being an S&D kid, and like Blaze doesn't understand the S&D GB days. Those are like the best. And that's why I'm like you, like the Modern Warfare 2 days, you became a man playing Modern Warfare 2 because some of the things that you heard and said toughened you, made you hard as nails. And then H1Z1 helped out too. So So you go from being an S&D kid and then you transition over to Warzone.
Mm-hmm.
So
I played them.
Go ahead.
There was like a big – so like that's kind of like a big window, right? So – that's pretty much like 5 years ago until now. So I could just fill that in if you want me to.
Yeah, please.
So I played Call of Duty Black Ops 3, and then I think Call of Duty, what game came out? Call of Duty IW, Infinite Warfare, I believe.
Infinite Warfare.
And I did not like that game. I was not a big fan of the game. I did not play much. And so I played like about 2 months of that. Then I was playing H1Z1, and that was my first keyboard and mouse game. I had like 400 hours in H1. I wasn't crazy. It wasn't nothing. And so I stopped playing that, and then I went to play Black Ops 4 for a little bit once the new COD came out. And then I played that one for a little bit, and then I stopped playing that because I didn't enjoy that COD either. And so, like, I was kind of just over all of these CODs. I'm like, dude, like, I don't really enjoy these CODs. I think the last pubs that I actually really enjoyed was Black Ops 3. I love the Black Ops 3 mechanics, wall running, jetpacks, and all that stuff. I thought it was awesome. And the camos, all that stuff was sweet. And so it was, I just didn't know what I wanted to play, what I wanted to grind. So, and then I went to Fortnite, and then I was grinding Fortnite. Then Apex Legends came out, grinding Apex Legends for 2 months. And then Fortnite announced their, you know, the World Cup. So I did the World Cup for about, you know, the few months, or try, you know, made, I don't know, like maybe $2,000 trying to compete in their Fortnite thing. And then I went back to Apex Legends for a little bit. And then I played a game called Battalion 1944, which is, it's just a, you know, an old game shooter. Basically, it's kind of like Counter-Strike where it goes up to 13 rounds, but it's first person shooter. Played that.
Yes. Yeah. I thought that game, there was so much hype. Everyone was so excited about it. Like, even like, you know, COD guys were like, dude, I could jump on and play, you know, Battalion. Yep. So much more relaxing. And but it just fizzled.
It did not last very, it just didn't last very long. And I could, you know, bash, you know, the devs or maybe community or something, but like, I don't know. Like, I met so many cool people, and that was just part of the process. And I think, like, one of the biggest things about part of the process is like the people that you meet along the way. You know, people like my teammates that I played Battalion with, or teammates that I played Apex with, or creators I played Apex or Fortnite with, or whoever it may be. I met a lot of cool people along the way, and that's just part of the process. It's like one of the coolest things about the process. And, you know, that's what makes the process of getting to the end goal, which is like, you know, maybe if you want to be a full-time streamer or whatever, that just makes it all worth it. And so I played Battalion, and then I don't know, I was just kind of playing pretty much any game until Valorant came out. Valorant came out, I think, a little bit before Warzone.
Did you play Fear the Wolves? Did you know that game?
Fear the Wolves?
It was a good battle royale game.
It didn't work for us here in the States, bro. Trust me. It was good over in the EU, but it didn't work for us.
So,
can you still crank 90s?
Apex. Oh, my God. Apex. I played it in the beginning as well. It was a good game. You know who used to be my partner?
Who?
Shiv. Shiv. Yeah, Shiv FPS. He used to have like 10, 20 viewers when I played with him.
I mean, it's crazy, bro. Every time I see a clip on Twitter, it's just him screaming at people after he kills them.
Yeah, he was always like that. He's never changed, you know? So yep,
that's good.
5 viewers or 1,000 now or 2,000, whatever, it's still the same dude. Except he's got way more hair now, that's all.
Yep. Yeah,
can you still crank 90s in Fortnite or what?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, maybe like a little practice I would need, but that was my first game ever to play on mouse and keyboard. So now I play mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, I cranked 25s on Fortnite. That's how good I am.
Fortnite was like, oh my gosh, those games. And this is the way I felt when Warzone first came out too. It's like one of those games where you're just addicted, you know? Like when I go to bed, I'm dreaming about like hopping in a battle bus and landing at, you know, Salty Springs. Like that's where I was at when Fortnite first came out. And then I grinded that. And I think my problem is like, I've just put too much time into games where I just get so burnt out and I just don't enjoy them as much anymore. And I think that was my problem with Fortnite and then Apex Legends as well. And then I was playing a whole bunch of random games. I think Valorant came out first and then Warzone. And then as soon as Warzone came out, I was actually working part time at the time because I just, you know, I wanted to work. I was just working at the restaurant again. I really enjoyed being a server at the restaurant. And, basically all of Minnesota here in the United States shut down. And so I was basically forced back into being a full-time streamer again, which was, you know, to me, the whole COVID-19, like it sucks. Like the whole thing sucks. But hey, you're a full-time streamer now. Learn from your mistakes when you were doing it back in the day when you were doing a Fortnite. Because when Fortnite first came out or when I was grinding Fortnite, I did live. Or sorry, full time for about a year and a half or so. And I just didn't do it right. And so when COVID happened, when all of Minnesota got shut down, I was just telling myself, okay, let's learn from your mistakes. There's literally nothing else to do. So you have to do this. And I was still streaming part time. I enjoyed it. I was having fun.
For the people listening, what do you think you did wrong there?
What I wanted to do this time around and what I didn't do in Fortnite was, one, I didn't post consistently on Instagram, YouTube, and now it's TikTok. So you should be posting consistently on all platforms. And I still upload also clips, you know, to Twitter as well. Twitter is very, very important in my opinion. But now TikTok is crazy. So posting consistently on platforms, you know, 3 times a week, every day, whatever it may be, but consistency is massive. And also at the same time, I didn't play with any other streamers or any other creators. And so like my networking was just not there at all. And so what was crazy with Warzone, I mean, I was playing with new streamers every single day. I was just meeting these people. And it's not so much like becoming like best buds with these guys. It's just like now they know me and I know them. You know, it's just how the networking is. I'm not self-promoting or not doing anything like that, but you're just meeting people and maybe you find people that you mesh with or blend with and you just have a really great time with. And I never really did that in Fortnite. And I just hopped on, turned my stream on, played Fortnite for 8 hours, turned it off. And realistically, anybody can turn their stream on, play video games and turn it off. It's just anybody can do that. But this time around, I wanted to make sure that I networked. I was posting consistently on socials. I was growing my Twitter. And I was also grinding leaderboards. And I think that definitely helped me out a lot in terms of my stream growth as well. And, you know, all the tournaments and stuff like that definitely helped. But also me being top of the leaderboards and kills was, I think, one of the biggest pillars of, you know, of how I get picked up in these tournaments, the first few tournaments and stuff like that. So it was the networking that I really wanted to focus on this year, taking advantage of every situation, such as like podcasts or articles or interviews and stuff like that. Why wouldn't I want to take advantage of somebody that wants to talk or somebody that wants to basically promote me in a sense, you know?
I mean, yeah, that's the best way to look at it. And I think a lot of people, would you say there's a lot of people out there that are afraid to reach out and say, hey, you know, Fro, man, can you want a game? You know, I don't have this.
Hey, I'm scared to ask him even. I mean, he's a god. He's like top three of the world in kills.
I'm the same way. I am the same way, though. That's really the thing. Like, I just don't want to be annoying. You know, I have that like kind of like I have a fear of just being annoying, because if I just ask at the wrong time, maybe they'll never want to play with me again. And so like, yeah, so like there'll be times that in the morning where I see say like Symphony. I've played with Symphony numerous times and he's come to my chat and be like, hey Fro, you want to come play games? So I said, sure, let's go play. But I just, it feels weird for me to, and I know it shouldn't bother, because what's the worst that can happen? Like
I mean, that's what I firmly believe. Like my parents were always like, what is the harm? They're gonna tell you no.
Yeah,
it's not going to hurt your feelings. They tell you no, then you move on.
Mm-hmm. So. Especially if you're chill with them, and that's what I got to work on too. Because it's very hard for me to. Right now, I'm kind of just bored of Warzone. Like, there's just nothing to really play for. Just because I have 86 days played in Warzone. Like, that's a lot of time played in Warzone, and it just feels like some days I'm just feel like I'm going through the motions, and so I'm trying to just figure it out, basically.
So you're grinding Warzone like nobody else, and then out of nowhere, you start playing with like you've made some connections, and all of a sudden, oh my God, Froze on the scene, and it's like people were like, "Who's this guy?" You know, it's like you know what I'm saying, and.
Right.
I'm not saying it's like, you know, it just happened by accident because you put the time in. But all of a sudden, who was the first person to give you like, hey, dude, do you want to come play with me? I'm doing this tournament.
So basically what happened was it was more so we made a name for ourselves, right? So Nick Marks hosted these tournaments, and I've been part of MFAM personally for about, I think, 50 months I've been sub to him, or 48 or something like that. So I've been part of MFAM forever. And Nick Marks was hosting these tournaments. And so he had three qualifiers. And then the three winning teams of those qualifiers had to play each other to get into his $20,000 tournament. And so, actually, was it 20K or 50K? One of the two. I don't remember. But me, Super Evan, Amps, us three, it was a trios tournament, played. We made it through the qualifiers, so we were one of the first three. We played against two other teams, beat them, and then we got into the big tournament, which was, you know, that had Tim the Tapman, Huskers, Symphony, all Vicstar, you know, all the big dogs that are playing Warzone. And we end up winning that tournament as well. So we go through the qualifiers, our two sets of qualifiers,
and then we win the big tournament. So it was like a huge underdog moment for us, right? And that right there was one of the craziest and best feelings ever. And so that made, I think, a really big statement, because that was like one of the first big tournaments that somebody had hosted for Warzone. And then they hosted the same exact tournament the next month. He was doing like one a month for about 4 months or something. And we were like, okay, perfect. Does this mean we automatically get invited since we won the last one? And they're like, nope, you don't get invited. And so we actually had to pick up a different team. We did not get invited. I was pretty butthurt. We won the first one, and I was kind of butthurt that we didn't get invited to the second one. I'm like, what the hell? We won the thing, dude. Like, what the heck?
I would be butthurt as well. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at it. This is like the underdog, the nobodies that came out of nowhere and just won it all. You know, I'll be like, and I'm sure they went through and like, oh, this kid's good. His team is solid. Yeah, he's gonna have to fight through it. No freebies here.
Yep. It was so rough. So guess what? We had to find a different team because we had such a good team that Nick Merckx did a KD cap of the tournament. And that was the first KD cap tournament ever. And so the reason why there's KD cap, and I'm taking full pride in this, I guess, is that there's a KD cap because of, you know, me, Super Evan, Amps, and whoever else that we were playing with at the time. And so they did a KD cap. And so we had to play with a few different people. So squads, we went through the qualifier again. And then we got into the big tournament because there's just the qualifiers. Got into the big tournament. And then we won the next tournament again. The 50K tournament again. So two times in a row, the underdog team, the MFAM qualifiers was our team name because we went all the way through qualifiers twice. And we won it again. And so after we won the second one, everybody's like, whoa, whoa, okay. You know? Who are these guys? You know, like, what's going on here? And so I think it was, you know, starting those like the first few tournaments when Warzone first started getting popping off, like season two, maybe, or something like that. And that set us up for the rest of the year. And I remember having conversations with Evan, Super Evan, which he's ranked, what, number three, I think, in earnings right now, like right over 100K in earnings. I had a conversation with him, like, dude, like, if you do really well in these tournaments, these are the first few tournaments, this is going to set us up for the rest of the Warzone year. You know, this is going to set us up perfectly, bro. So we popped off, we won it, and, you know, it really set us up for an amazing, amazing year. And so we got invited to these other tournaments. We got invited to play, you know, with other people, to play with these big streamers and stuff like that. Tim the Tapman invited me to play a few tournaments in with him and be his dual partner. And so, and then all kind of just snowballed from there. So it was a big underdog story.
I mean, so basically people that were like, yeah, you can't run with us. You're not there yet. Now these people are like, hey, Fro, Tim's going to take a lot of whips. Is probably like, yeah, he's going to take a lot of Tim damage. He's going to need some help, you know? So now these people are like, Bro is legit. So that, in a sense, by you doing that, coming out of quals twice, winning it all of a sudden, you guys, your team, you Super, you guys are like, all right, yeah. These guys, I mean, if you're doing that, and I firmly believe is that there's a lot of good like H1 players that have transitioned to so many good games. Yeah, because it taught you shot mechanics and stuff, and they're successful at it. And now people are like, now you're getting noticed. You know, you're like, oh my god, look at this guy. You know, they came out and they were nobodies in a sense. And let's face it, because if you're not a big name, you're like a nobody. But
yeah.
All of a sudden, now people are like, okay, hey, Fro, you want to come play? I mean, what's it gonna take? You know.
Yep. Well, it was insane, man. Like I said, it was like. Just being the underdog and then showing up and winning is like one of the best feelings ever. And then doing it twice, you know, doing two times over because people thought, oh, what? Who are these guys that won the first tournament? Ah, you know, it's a fluke. It's an RNG based video game. You know, it's whatever. Yeah. Okay. Guess what? We'll take the second one too then.
Oh, how good was that pie? I just want to know how good that pie was. It, you know, you served up here.
Have a taste. Man, it was awesome. It was awesome. It was the best. It was the best ever.
So obviously now that you go and win two MFAM tournaments, I don't know what your viewership was at that time. I'm sure you had a nice community. All of a sudden, the doors open up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Yep. And all you had to do was walk through the door. But I have to know, who was the pro that you enjoyed killing the most? Or the biggest, you know, streamer. Wait, or, you know.
Oh, so like these tournaments, they're you don't even really go against people, actually. So like the way the tournaments work, they're just...
Yeah. I'm talking about in general.
In game, if you ever, you know, kill somebody.
Any time that we get in sweaty fights, man, it's fun. It doesn't matter who it is because, I mean, to be honest, Call of Duty is an easy game, you know? Like, it just, whoever is in the better positioning should win. But, you know, it's, I mean, I can't call anybody out. I mean, I just really enjoy having good fights with other players, other pros, other big streamers and stuff like that. Because, you know, all of a sudden my chat will go to their chat, their kind of chat comes to my chat. Most of the time, everybody will say GGs, unless, you know, specific streamers. You got a lot of there's always the little toxic kids, you know, that come in and just be an ass. But
yeah. How many times have you heard that hot mic? You're cheating! You're cheating!
Dude, like, it's too many. Like, probably in the hundreds, more than hundreds, probably.
Were they squeakers?
All the time. Across the whole board. I mean, I've heard some grown dudes saying stuff like that. Yeah, this guy's cheating or something like that. Or like, I'll kill somebody. They say something. The next guy, I kill the second guy. He goes, yeah, he is.
Chunkhead always goes like, I hope your mom's really proud of you.
I wish that instead of a hot mic, you had a chance to respond to them. So you had that proximity chat. I would love that. If you're gonna, like me, I always get the guys that say things to me in Spanish, and I'm like, what? I wish can you speak English? Or I know that what you're telling me, I don't understand it. You know.
Yep. Or you can hit him with the ninja H1Z1. I don't know if you guys allow cussing, but when he says,
oh,
you know,
please.
What the fuck you say to me, you little shit? You know, you just like,
yeah, I have
goes like off
1,900 hours in H1, I think, or even more.
I'm telling you, like, T-Hump was the best. I'm sorry. T-Hump did it the best.
T-Hump and Linden, I mean.
They live for that, though. They're like perfect people to like. You know, they're funny, but, you know, they can definitely be very, very toxic as well. So that's when it gets hilarious.
But, like, I met T-Hump in person, and he's really intelligent, and I know that's part of the role. But when he took out Ninja when he was streaming, and he's like, sit down, you little shit! Ah! You know, going off, you know, and stuff. But,
yep.
So, I mean, obviously...
I have one question. Were you nervous playing with him, that man, or were you like, he's one of the guys?
My first time, yeah, of course, man. I mean, this man's got 40,000 people watching him. Of course, I'm a little nervous. But I mean, yeah, I was nervous playing with him, and I was nervous playing with these, you know, these NFL guys and these other athletes and these fighters or whoever it may be. But once you play with them enough, and once you understand yourself in the position enough, like you just realize, like, oh, what the heck. These guys are exactly like me. We're just gaming, you know, we're just playing games. Like, we're just people, you know. It doesn't, you know, there may be more people watching, you know, this guy may, you know, be a celebrity with millions and millions of followers, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're both people, and we both love playing video games, and we're on the same team and we're playing. So, you know, of course I got a little nervous a few times. I don't really get nervous or really embarrassed really all that often, but, you know, maybe I was a little, you know, shaky a little bit. But you know, once you get in that mindset of like, hey, you know, we're just people, man. We're just gamers. You know, it doesn't really affect me.
A good lesson in that way. Like, one day I was nervous for something. My dad went like, dude, why are you nervous? I'm like, yeah, it was for a job thing, right? I was like, yeah, I'm meeting this big boss from like a bank. And, you know, I got a, you know, big deal I got to discuss with him. And he's like, dude. He goes to the toilet, he eats, he fights with his wife, his kids probably say he shit, and all that stuff. I mean, don't be nervous. He's a human being like you. He's got feelings, and he just, you know, has experience in the field he's in and became, you know, a bang guy, you know. Or So I always tell people, no matter what, never forget they're just a person like me and you.
Yep, exactly.
Like here,
so that's why I wanted to, you know how you felt, because it's always, you know, you always get nervous. The first time I got on stage to play a big tournament, yeah, I was so nervous, man. I was shaking. I didn't know, and I was looking around me, seeing all these big people around me, and like, I'm just this little dude from Belgium. What am I doing here? You know, I'm playing with the dog and other people. What am I doing here? But on the same time, I was like, I'm proud, man. And they're maybe nervous also that they're gonna, you know, they're gonna get killed or something. And that was, you know, all good experience. But I'm really happy you got where you are at the moment, and I hope really you grow even more. You know, you really deserve it. And hearing your story makes me want to become a Fro supporter even more.
thank you. Yeah. So like what Junk was saying earlier, when like, you know, the doors open, right? And so I looked back, you know, at the end of the year, December of 2019, I averaged like 15 viewers. And then December of 2020, did I say, yeah, December 2019, I averaged like 15 viewers. In December of 2020, I averaged like 450. And so like, that's 1 year. Like, that's like 1 year of grinding. And so, I mean, what I've been just telling people, man, like, I mean, it doesn't, sometimes there are certain cases where sometimes you will grow like, you know, that overnight, but it's just the consistency, it's the grind. It just takes time, man, you know, because you may never know of all those actions that you made up until, you know, all the actions and small things and all the streams that you did up until the fifth year, that's when they start, you know, adding up and making sense. And, you know, it brings everything into fruition, I guess I should say.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you look at it because everything you did from day one to now, it's been all worth it. Now you paid and now you're playing, you know, you did the little work. You got knocked down. You got back up. You got knocked down. People told you no. Now people are like, hey, you know, I don't know if you know this, you know, I need you to come carry me in this tournament. Can you, you got some time, bro? Is it okay?
Exactly.
So, and this should go to a testament to, it doesn't matter whatever content you're creating, is that just go, just, you know, just don't let nobody tell you no. Don't let anybody bring you down. Because at some point in time, those people are going to be jealous of the things that you're doing. They're like, man, I wish I could do that. So, so kudos to you, man. That's remarkable, man. And it's a testament to your dedication, man. So, I'm doing another golf clap for you. So, so obviously can you say the fame and the glory? Yeah. I mean,
I just have one goal this year on Twitter, that is Frozen to follow me back, you know.
I got you right now.
Oh,
joking.
God.
$5.
So, I
just got to bring the Blaze Diva back to life for a second there, because Junkhead wants it, you know.
No. I always say when I'm streaming, is like, you know, people are like, I wish I could subscribe. I was like, dude, you hanging out for me? I have a job. This is just fun. And I was like, you hang out, you type in the chat, that's a win for me. No big shake. But
exactly.
So obviously the fame, the fortune, the cars, the women, you know, the luxurious lifestyle that you've achieved.
Like, did you get like a billion girlfriends and stuff like that now?
No, I've been dating I've been dating the same lady since high school, man. So
nice.
So and bro, I drive a PT Cruiser, a 2003 PT Cruiser, man. I am not putting any money into cars, because one, I live in Minnesota, and you know, the roads, when they're icy, they salt to the roads. That's rust. You know, I don't even care about my car. It was a $1,400 PT Cruiser from 2003, what year it was made.
Well, I mean, you look at like Forrest Griffin, that won the first Ultimate Fighter. He still drives that little cube car, and Dana White's like, "You have all this money." He's like, "I like this car. I'm content."
Yeah, it's. Oh, man, I've been trying to really take advantage of the situation that I'm in, you know, because I stream full time. I don't have like a 401k match with any companies or stuff like that. So I basically got with like a financial advisor. They're having me put money away every single month. I kind of know how to do stuff in the market. You know, I self-taught myself in the market and stuff like that, you know, with Dogecoin and all that, you know, but I've been trying to take the necessary steps in, you know,
for securing like my future. You know, I don't have any loans. I don't have a car payment. I just pay for my car insurance. I'm fortunate enough, I'm still underneath my parents' insurance until I turn 26 later this year. And I just, you know, I don't really spend a lot of money unless it's through DoorDash or on food, but I don't really, I think that's one of the things that I would recommend to people is like, you don't need all that stuff. If you're gaming and streaming full time, what do you need a nice car for? You know, like you're spending most of your, you're spending 18 hours, 20 hours of your day, probably even more than that, you know, inside, you know, doing stuff. And so, I don't know. I really try to tell people not to spend money on cars, bro, because it's not a very good value. You know,
like if you step outside, you see the sun, you're like a vampire. You're like, you know, let me go back inside. So
he gets on his bicycle that he has since he got 14 years old to go get groceries, you know.
Yep, there you go.
So, and you said earlier you had a brother. Do you have like more brothers and sister or just
one? I have two brothers. I have an older brother and a younger brother and a younger sister. So
And they also stream or not at all? Or?
My older brother went through a little stage of streaming and stuff like that. He's been going in and out of school. He's been working a lot. He just doesn't really have a whole lot of time for it. So he does more of like the variety, and he plays, you know, he has like hundreds of games on Steam that he wants to finish and complete and stuff like that. My little brother, he definitely games. He doesn't really do the whole streaming thing. He's not a big fan of that stuff. And then my sister is just busy in college right now. So
you also got a sister. Okay. So you're four. Oh my God.
There's four of us. Family. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm proud of your parents.
I am, you know, that's one of the coolest things that I've been able to do, is especially in this last year, man. And it's been just an insane year, you know, in terms of these Warzone tournaments. I mean, because it's public knowledge, I'll let you guys know, is like on the esports or on the Warzone earnings, I'm ranked 11th in the Warzone earnings, and I'm at $59,000+. And that's in the last year, just from Call of Duty Warzone tournaments. And like, that is like life changing. And that's on top of, you know, my streams and my other sponsorships or whatever it may be. But that is right there. That's life changing money and stuff like that. And so
that is life changing money.
And one of the coolest things is, you know, my parents, and I could tell that they're just extremely proud of me. Like I said earlier, my dad, you know, after I did the Toys for Tots thing, he sent out emails to all the local newspapers, all the local radio stations and stuff like that, because he's really, really proud of me. He wants people to know, you know, and stuff like that. So it's
Is he in your stream?
No. They don't cut on my streams. They don't. But every time I go to their house, I update them, you know, my sub count or, you know, how things are going. I won this tournament. Hey, I won this tournament the other day. Yeah. I think it was like, what, 10K second place? Yeah, we got. Yeah. Okay. They're like, Jesus, man. Like, what the heck?
They're like, good job. Can you take out the trash for me real quick?
Remember that one time we were living in our house, you know, for a little bit?
No. So, like, going back to what I was saying, so the success from that you much deserved from grinding the quals, being the underdog team, now people want to play with you, so you're out there. So, you know, so the world of Fro has come to party.
Yep.
How many, obviously you're legit, because it's, you know, teams are picking up players and for their esports horn, because that's a good representation. Mm-hmm. How many all of a sudden out of nowhere orgs? Yeah, I thought that was my dog for a second. It's not.
Sorry.
It's fine. No, it's good. It's good.
He's like looking at me. Where's this dog at?
I have a stream puppy, a Chinese crested that sits right next to me. So it's fine, Fro.
No problem. All right.
I have my little stream puppy.
Just for your information, people who don't know, Junkat's dog got more hair than Junkat on his whole body. He's hating me right now.
He's muted right now. He's just
he's hating me.
No, it's not that. So obviously you're recognized. It's Warzone's kind of a somewhat viable esport. I imagine all these teams are just knocking down the door. Hey, come with us. They're coming with the Lambos and, you know, the briefcase of money, and like, hey, come be a part of such and such esports org. So
college tour all over again, bringing pretty girls to it to, you know, seduce him to join.
Like, hey, I've been with the same girl. First of all, kudos to you for driving your PT Cruiser till the wheels fall off, being with the same girl since high school. So things change. How many orgs are like, hey, how do you want to come play with us? And like, as an esports manager, I've had people come to me as like, here, look at this contract and tell me what you think. And I'm like, are you seriously going to sign that? And I'm like, you obviously have a good head on your shoulders, because there are people who are like, and I'm like, looking at that, they're like, these orgs are taking like 95% of what they would make, and they keep 5. I was like, you're going to sign that? They're like, yeah, because I want to be part of something. So I imagine people are throwing things at you, and what happens next after the much-deserved accolades come at you?
So as you know, I signed with the team Xset Gaming. And so Justin's my manager or agent, or whoever you want to call him. He has been helping me out on the professional side of things, move forward in everything, getting me signed up, you know, getting me on podcasts, getting me in articles, getting me interviews, hooking me up to play with football player, you know, NFL players or basketball players. Or he's just like, so he's making sure that I take full advantage of this situation across the whole board. And then also the team thing was a long process, because to me, I take it very, very serious, because I think one of the best things about a team is that you get to represent someone bigger than yourself. You get to represent a family, you get to represent you know, you get to represent, you know, other, you know, the logo on the front when your name is on the back, kind of thing. And so I think it was one of, you know, we there was definitely some other offers like on the table and whatnot, but we figured that Xset was hands down the best option for us and for me, in terms of just how much they really care about their players, their streamers, their content creators, and everybody. And so to me, like, is one of the biggest things is how people like treat, you know, because there's definitely been other teams and other orgs that I've been on in the past to where they only care about the competitive people that really give them, you know, that make the money or whatever it may be. But it just isn't the case, you know. Like the previous teams, I was just basically, hey, welcome to this team. And then they just throw me in group chats. And then I don't talk to any of these people for months or something. I don't know, whatever it was. And I think one of the biggest things for Xset is like they have a really super big focus on Warzone. They have really big plans for 2021 in Warzone. And they want to help me get to the next stage and the next, you know, the next goal, you know, to get over the next hump of, you know, more average viewers, or, you know, help me get in these tournaments, or, you know, help me with, you know, sponsor deals or whatever it may be. It's just they want to help me out like crazy. And it's definitely one of the best feelings ever after, you know, a year of just working my ass off. Now I'm wanted, you know, not by just one team, but more than one team, and more, you know, more than just being just a streamer or stuff like that. So it's a great feeling, and I'm so excited for 2021 with Xset, and these guys have been just so great to me already.
Anything you can reveal?
not really. I would say, but like last week they. Marco, which is he's like I think the esports head in I don't know his exact role, esports head in Xset. Basically, he was on my stream, and it was like a community day. Basically, it was called Froze Cold Cash, and every win that I got, he gave away $500 Cash App to my stream. And so we won 3 games within, you know, the time. We won like 3 games in a row almost, and then he was like, all right, I also have $500 you know, credits for merchandise or apparel that I'll also give away to your chat. So he ended up giving away $2,000 to my chat and to my subscribers and to my viewers. And I was in Xset for like a week already, only a week. And so they making sure I got hooked up with the Ghost, you know, the drink stuff that they're
sponsored with. They're making sure that I'm taken care of. They're like, hey, if you need anything, you know, let us know. And so they're just, they are there to just help me out like crazy. And it's amazing, man. It really is. And I don't know if I deserve it really yet, but I mean, well, they're just always trying to.
Dude, never there, sell so. Yourself short, because like I said, you've earned everything that you got. You did the time. And like, that is awesome, because the owners of Xset actually came from, weren't they from like FaZe?
Yeah, I think FaZe Management. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So FaZe Management. Build, like, so, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I look at it, because like, there's a lot of esports orgs that are around just for esports. They don't care. And I look at people like guys that I looked up as mentors when I was in esports, was like Hector Rodriguez and Temp. You know, they're like, they see the value in content, and you know, like Hex said, you know, that he was mad. He's like, why don't they want like Skump to do this? Because you have to look at the future, you know, because like, you could, like, let's face it, Warzone could die tomorrow. I hope not, because I still want to keep hearing all the good plays that you're making and stuff. And I'd be like, man, maybe like when I'm 50, a couple years away from that, I'll be able to pull that play off, you know? And it's just like, but you know what? You're still a content creator. You're also a competitive player, but you're doing, like you said, you're posting on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, you're posting on, you know, YouTube. And so, you know, that like, if Warzone ended tomorrow, which I hope, like I said, once again, I hope it doesn't, is that you're still going to be okay, because you're in a good home where people take care of you. They're like, hey, do you need this? Mm-hmm. No, I'm good, man. No, but you know, bullshit. We're going to still send you some stuff, you know? And,
exactly.
And I think that's what makes it worth the while, was when you find a place and you're like, I'm home. You know, I was like, you know, I don't have to compete. And like you said, you know, Warzone's kind of in a state right now, you know? And I look at the same thing with Fortnite. There was cash cups all the time. How many cash cups were there? Like 50 a week?
A lot.
And now there's none.
Barely any. You there just never know what's going to happen, you know? So again, this was back to like the, you know, putting money into with a financial advisor, making sure I don't spend much money. You know, I'm saving my money. I'd like to buy a house in 6 months. You know, it's just, you just don't know, especially with this career, you know, you just don't know. And so if the game like stops tomorrow, or there just gets infested with hackers or whatever it may be, I'll be okay. You know, I'll be okay to play a different game, you know,
You gotta look at like a sports career or anything like that. You know, like a sports career, a football player or soccer or any game you play, if you get injured, you're done. You know, you're done. So what are you gonna do after that? So it's good that you think about your future already. It's really, you know, a smart move in your life. And it's good that you surround yourself with the right people to do that with. And really, it's good advice you're giving to other people, you know, listening to this. So. Yeah, I'm really, sure. You know.
Go ahead.
No, I was just really proud of him.
Yeah, calm down. It's okay. But no. You should do like a YouTube series, like in the classroom with Fro, where you could actually, because that is something that I think is really viable information for young content creators, young esports players. That you know, like. Look, I've been there. I've done that. But this is what I always pay myself before, you know. It's it's great to have $7,000 pair of shoes, but you know,
that's $7,000 in the market at 8% return.
You know, and my thing is that, you know, they're like, "Hey, I, you know, like what those Yeezys that were like $500 a pair." And like they wear them once and they put them up, and I was like, "Man, I'm from Florida, dude. I wear flip-flops."
That's, I wear Crocs, bro.
You know? Yeah, dude, I'm open for Croc sponsorship until I had bad feet. My fiance was like, you know, Crocs will make your feet feel better. And I was like, whatever. And I went to the foot doctor and they were like, you know, Crocs were a prescription shoe that went on the main market. And like right now I'm wearing Crocs. These are my clubbing Crocs. You know,
they're great. They're great. People talk trash about them until they wear them. I'm telling you.
I didn't choose the Croc life. The Croc life chose me, man. That's all I'm going to say. Sponsorships, slide into our DMs, please. So,
you know what's funny is that, sorry.
No, go ahead.
You talking about that, you know what's funny is because my girlfriend, she graduated with an English degree. And so she loves writing. She loves reading and stuff like that. And one of the coolest things is like
basically stuff that I have been talking about the last, you know, hour and a half or hour, however long we're talking, I would love to eventually put that into like an ebook. I think would be extremely cool, you know, just charge like $8 or something. But, you know, I think it's a lot of knowledge and it's a lot of value, you know, the plans and, you know, the networking and then just playing and what worked, what hasn't, stuff like that. And then also what we were just talking about, you know, just driving a cheap car, you know, whatever it is, you know, I thought about putting that into an ebook at some point would be, you know, I think a lot of streamers would take advantage of, you know, even if they got one little piece of value out of that, you know. But
I mean, I think that like Blaze and I first, I mean, it's like, you know, like my wrestling coach said, he told me this and it stuck to me to this day, is that the moment you don't want to stop learning things, just call it a day, just tap out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, learning is a, like, I've learned so much doing this podcast with Blaze. I was like, oh, you know what? He's always told me, like, to make sure I take care of myself before I take care of everybody else that I'm worried about as far as content. Where I was like, hey, it's just not me. It's esports management. He's like, no, dude, you're not esports manager anymore. Stop saying that. You need to promote yourself out there. And I'm just like, I still struggle with that. And mm-hmm. a lot of the people that I'm around, they're like, dude, stop doing that. And I was like, I can't. It's a whole habit to break. But, you know, I think you should. You could be one of the first, you know, competitive players. Like,
I don't think there's like really any ebooks or anything like that out there though. You know, maybe there's like a few blogs, but I mean, also I look at the value, but then to be honest, I also look at, you know, that's another source of passive income that can also set me up for something in the future as well. You know,
I mean, yeah, exactly. It's a business thing. And if you need someone to translate it to Dutch, I will let you borrow Blaze for like, I don't know, $2.
I can do Dutch French.
$2. He's cheap. He works cheap. So you find a home at Exet and you're happy. I mean, what are your plans for the future? What's the next thing you want to do? What's the next thing you want to accomplish? What do you, you know,
get married, get 20 kids, you know,
Sheesh, man. I mean, like content wise, my goal in the 2021 is to really just do what I did in 2020 because it worked, right? So playing with new streamers, playing with other creators. Try and grow a community, not think people are just viewers in my chat, you know, build friendships and relationships with these people, you know, become friends with these people. I think that's one of the, you know, the best things that you could do with those people, because those are the people that are making sure that this is your job. And so, you know, that is something that I think highly of, I guess. And, you know, just in 2021 is just to keep on keeping on. Keep taking advantage of, you know, being on this podcast, these interviews, the thing, saying yes to everything. Yes, 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 yes. And just keep on grinding. Hit 100,000 kills in Warzone. I'm ranked, I think, fourth in the world right now in kills. And I'm trying to get 100,000 kills, hopefully. Be the fourth one there, so.
And kudos to you for slipping in the Joe Dirt reference there, too. That is, that's the first time it's ever happened. Keep on keeping on, you know.
Yes, sir.
So when you're not gaming, when you're not looking at from the business side, when you're just relaxing, what is Fro doing?
Oh, man, I don't really do a whole lot of relaxing, to be honest. I like watching movies. There's a new show on Amazon. Maybe not a new show, but there's a show on Amazon called The Expanse. I've been trying to watch that. But I'm big into movies. I like to just, you know, if I got like 2 hours left before I go to sleep, hey, I'm just going to. You know, I'm going to watch, you know, Lord of the Rings again, you know, because I love Lord of the Rings. I love the Hobbit movies. And I could watch them on repeat all the time. But recently, I've been really trying to go to the gym, really focus on myself more recently in terms of my health, my eating habits, stuff like that. Just I think it's very, very important to make sure my health is there, my physical health, which will also take effect to my mental health. My physical health is better. My mental health is probably going to be better as well. Which, you know, indeed will have better streams. I'll be in a better attitude, you know, stuff like that. And so that's what I'm working on. Yeah, I mean, I don't really do much. I mean, I'm always on Twitter and stuff like that, trying to interact with people. Bro, even like there will be one day, like, hey, DM me on Instagram, DM me a question on Instagram, you know, just trying to do like little small things to interact with people that support me on socials or whatever it is, or just play a little Valorant or something off stream. So that's what I've been up to recently.
So so Valorant's your like laid back game to play or?
Yeah. So I played Diablo 3 for a couple weeks. I really enjoy the Diablo games. I miss Diablo 2, probably my favorite game of all time. And so I'm really hoping that Blizzard brings out Diablo 4 sooner than later, but it probably won't happen. Yeah, Valorant just with some buds. It's a very competitive game still. And so I need to try to find something that's not so competitive. So I just, you know, relax, have a good time.
Maybe PGA Golf 2K21.
There I feel like go. That game would make me mad. I don't
Dude,
know.
it's a blast when you play in with your friends and you get on the tour. It's something like as a content.
I mean,
creator,
I've seen you raging even on that game, Junkat. You mean like you're really good at raging at games, and this game even makes you rage.
So I mean, I don't know, but I'm the same way. I think you like sometimes you just got to have you want to stream, but. No, you're just like, you got to have that digress, like reset game. I mean, yeah it's fun to be a little ragey, but.
Yeah, I don't want to get that. Because once you start raging, I mean, there's a like, bad attitude, bad performance. And then once you have bad performance, makes you even more cranky or crazy or whatever. Makes you rage even more. Then it just steamrolls. And then chat gets toxic. And then bada boom, bada bang.
So, dude, all I can say.
I'm sorry, I actually unplugged my headset. What the heck?
Oh.
Oh, we can say stuff that he can't hear now.
Okay. No, we're good.
So wait. One thing I remembered, you said you played Pokemon, right?
Way back when.
So you never got into the Pokemon hype on Twitch?
No. I haven't done any of the card stuff. What I really wanted to was get into like maybe NFL cards, but I can't find them anywhere either. I'm like, eh. I don't really have an expensive hobby. I'll wait until I buy a house and get married and all that stuff.
You're very frugal. Gotcha. 100%.
Yeah, I'd like to think I'm pretty frugal, yeah.
So
I just don't like spending money where I don't need to, you know?
So I know my fiance is trying to get me to stand that. So, but obviously, like I said, you're a testament to being diligent, sacrificing, but understanding that the I don't want to say the end game, but like you have that goal. You know, I firmly believe in setting goals and milestones and, you know, your goal should never change. Your milestones can, but your goal should never change. So I think you're in an awesome place in your career because it is a career and it's all a testament to everything from day one, you know, day one in Fro's life that your parents instilled into you that you carry on to this day. And you know, you should do an ebook. You should do a YouTube series about like this is what I did. You know, this necessarily shouldn't like your path shouldn't be the same path someone else takes. Like the things that I've done should not be a path for Joaquin Blaze or anything like that. But it should be a kind of like a guideline because everyone's different. You know, because if we all do the same thing, we're all robots and you know, I'll never get, you know, win 50K at a Warzone tournament, but I'll make people laugh along the way, you know? So I'm the rock, as Tim says, the lowest kills, least amount of damage, but I'll pick you up when you need
a guy that picks me up 10 times when we play, you know,
there you go.
The money,
you need, I always need the people like that though.
You know what though? Blaze wanted a follow on Twitter. I don't care. I'm down to game whenever you are, Fro. Just want to
have some absolutely
fun. Get wrecked, Blaze. First dibs.
I mean, I'm still waiting on that follow.
He's already blocked you. He's blocked you. He's blocked you. So, all right. So, go ahead.
No. Just laughing with my stupid own jokes, you know, like old man do.
Oh God, you are old. So, go ahead. For me and Joaquin Blaze, we want to say thank you for coming on the podcast. It means the world.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very much, you guys.
It's nice to be number one. You can rub that in people's faces when this goes out. But go ahead and take the time. Shout out your team. And once again, all Fro's information will be in the description of this podcast. Whatever platform you're listening on, go ahead and give us a 5-star rating, like it, download it, tell your
brothers, sisters, cousins, uncles, roommates that's a hairdresser now that has like a whole posse of hairdressers that they can listen to when they're working. So all his information will be down below. But go ahead and shout yourself out. You first, and then
your sponsors, of course, yeah, like
the exit stuff.
You know. Well, again, I just want to say thank you
Hugo
guys very
Boss
much for having
and
me.
Stuff like that, right?
Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It was a blast. I had a lot of fun. And most definitely we'll have to get some games in at some point. So I need somebody that picked me up 10 times in one game.
That's what I'm here for. I'll be your rock. I'll be your rock, bro. Blaze won't. Blaze is never around me. But
and yeah, so my socials, like you said, would be down low. It's just Frozone on Twitch and on Twitter. And my team is XZ Gaming. They have pro teams and pretty much every, you know, Valorant, Counter-Strike, Rocket League, a lot of great content creators, Warzone creators, and you know, a lot more people as well. So they're amazing. 2021 is going to be massive. And so, especially with XZ, XZ's help. So make sure you guys keep a lookout for that. Yep.
But they don't have a professional podcast team.
Blaze. That's interesting.
No, I'm just kidding. So, but, you know, once again, thank you for taking the time out of your busy day. I hope you keep enjoying and your success you have now, that you have tenfold in the future, and then that I'll be able to tell my grandchildren, Blaze will be able to tell his kids, like, hey, you know that guy? Yeah, we had him on our podcast, you know? So, thank you very much for taking the
time. Thank you, man. Really appreciate it. It was really nice to get to know you better because it gave us a good image of the person behind the content creator, which is really awesome to see. And you got an awesome heart, dude. Just be you, keep being you, and enjoy this moment. That's the only thing I can say. Enjoy everything and just try to have fun as much as you can. And, you know, be you.
So anybody out there that doesn't, if you have respect for Frozone, like I had a mad respect for you, your accomplishments, but now as a person, I have more respect for you as a person than as a streamer, as a content creator. So kudos to you. Give yourself a self high five. And we'll get some games in. I know you'll have to push Tim aside. And Blaze, no, you can't join when we're playing because I'll be playing with this quality time with Fro. So on behalf of me and Joaquin Blaze, I want to say thank you again for coming on the podcast. And as you guys remember, you guys better be out there fragging, because if not,
you'll be probably lagging.
Oh, there we go.
Mom! Mom! Get the camera! I got a kill! Oh my god, a kill! Oh yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I got a kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner undying to the gas!